and the busyness of life. You know, in this in the account of Christ's birth, there were a number of people who were very busy. Let me read to you some of the account from Luke chapter 2. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all should be registered. All went to their own town. Joseph went from Nazareth to Bethlehem to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. While they were there, she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So the first people I feel who were quite busy were the people of Bethlehem. It was a busy time. There was a census going on, and everyone was rushing around, and obviously Joseph and Mary, who were up in Nazareth, they had to, you know, go south towards Jerusalem. Just outside of Jerusalem, there's a small little town called Bethlehem, and they had to get there. And of course, you got people coming from all over, and so there was no room. No room for Joseph and Mary. And of course, the story tells us there was no room in the inn. And you know, I wonder if this story is not just telling us there was no physical room, but maybe the condition of mankind at that point, little Bethlehem being a little point of reference, there was just no room in our hearts, in our lives, and in our minds. They were so busy, they missed the most important thing from God. And then I was thinking about in the Matthew account, in chapter 2, you have the wise men, of course, they're coming, and they're trying to find the king of the Jews, is what they tell Herod. And here's the account. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in the days of King Herod, wise men from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was deeply disturbed, and all Jerusalem with him. So he assembled all the chief priests and scribes. And for those of you who are not familiar with who those people are, these are the people who are the religious leaders of the Jewish people. And he asked them where the Messiah would be born. "In Bethlehem of Judea," they told him, "because this is what was written by the prophet." If you read God's word, it tells us clearly where the Savior was going to be born. And the chief priests and the scribes, they missed it. And you wonder, why? Why did they miss it? What was so important to the chief priests and the scribes? Men who should have run to see the Savior. What was so busy? What was so important to them? Well, how was it that they were so busy? And I think, you know, there's another side of busyness that sometimes trips us up. And it has a lot to do with our pride. It's a form of pride. Because, you know, when we have our jobs, when we have our positions, when we have our status in society, it's very easy for us to get our self-worth and our identity from that. And that's what causes us not to do the little things that we should do, because after all, we're so important in our own eyes. They told themselves, even after knowing he'd been born, they told themselves, it's okay not to go. And you wonder, what was it that caused them to miss the importance of the Savior coming? My grandbaby is running around. That's okay. That's totally okay. So those are the ones who were too busy. She is a doll. My second point would be those who were not too busy. And I'm calling them the lowly. When we go back to the shepherds in chapter 2 of Luke, we see There were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night, and an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And the angel said to them, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And we keep going. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. The lowly shepherds saw God's son lying in a manger. Now, there's no doubt that when I use the term lowly, it definitely can refer to the state in society, the position in society that these shepherds held. That is without a doubt. But I'd like to present another side of lowly this morning as well. And that is not only lowly in position, but also how about lowly in attitude and behavior. They were humble enough to hear. They were humble enough to believe, and they were glad to go and see what they had heard. Let me come back to the Magi, or the wise men, as most people know them. In chapter 2 of Matthew, we just read those verses. The Magi, or the wise men, these are highly educated people. If you wanted to compare the shepherds and the wise men, there's a big, big difference. These are highly educated, well thought of men of some reputation. And yet still, were lowly. Why? Because they were lowly in attitude and they were lowly in their behavior. And so even though they saw the star and they knew they had to travel a very far distance, they never made excuses. They didn't say, oh, that's way too far. They remained lowly. They brought expensive gifts for the king of the Jews. And they never made an excuse and said, that's too much. They remained lowly. And in spite of their high status, any kind of prideful excuses were overcome. They couldn't have said, they may have said, but they battled through. And if they had said things like, I'm far too busy. Or, I'm too important. Or maybe they rationalized in their mind and thought, you know what, it's just the Jews. If it was the king of the Romans, if it was a new emperor, then we would. No, they never said that. They didn't say it's just the Jews. They're the ones who are under Roman rule. They were lowly in attitude and lowly in their behavior, and they came to see the King of the Jews. And you know, in this story, there's one last lowly person I'd like to draw your attention to, and that's the lowly Jesus. It really boggles my mind when I think that God became a man. It's almost unbelievable that God actually became a man. And you know what? He didn't just appear and say, hey, I'm the one you've been waiting for. He could speak, he could talk, he could, you know, do all those kind of things and converse and everything with people. That's what we see at 12 years old. But God became a baby. God was born of a virgin. You want to talk about lowly? The God of the universe, the creator of all mankind and everything else, God became a man? He laid aside his glory and he came in a lowly place. And if, you know, you might say, okay, he would come in a lowly place, but he would be born in a palace. And he wasn't. He's either born in a stable or born in a cave, but we do know this, it's born where animals are. And he's laid in a manger. There's no crib. The God of the universe is lying in a manger. That's our story. And not only was he born in this way, he's born to lowly parents. Most people kind of gloss over the kind of the dedication of Jesus. Because, Bethel, if you could bring up verse 24. Yeah, here we go. Luke 2, 22 to 24 says this, and when the time for their purification according to the law of Moses came, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord to offer a sacrifice according to what is in the law of the Lord. Look, these are typical Jewish people. The purification time had ended. They had to go and they had to offer. What is striking here is what they offered. There are a number of options. There are a number of options. You can offer a bull. You can offer something large. Well, that's if you're wealthy. But here it says they offered a pair of turtle doves, two young pigeons. That was put in place for those who were poor. The Savior of the world was born to lowly parents, and he came in a lowly way. I wonder if you've ever thought, why is it that the lowly came to see him? Only the lowly came to see him. It doesn't matter where you are. This morning you might say, oh, Ian, I love the story. It's sweet. It warms my heart. But, you know, I've got my position in society, and it doesn't matter where you are on the social ladder. What's the condition of our heart? Is it ready to receive him? Is it lowly to receive him? I started by talking about being busy. So I'll end by asking you, are you busy or are you lowly? And I guess it is possible to be busy and lowly. But a lot depends on the condition of our heart, doesn't it? You know, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus promises rest for the busy. He says this, come to me, all who are busy. Those who are working hard. Those who have too much on their plate. Is there anybody here who has too much on their plate? Yeah, nobody wants to raise your hand. I get it, but you're there. I hear the stories as work cranks up and people keep putting more and more in your lap and saying, oh, you can do it, right? Come to me, all who labor, all who are busy, all who are weighed down, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Are you finding rest for your souls? With Jesus there is rest. I hope we're not too busy. I speak this to all of us in the room. I hope we're not too busy in our daily lives for Jesus. We got to make room for him. And we've got to stop telling ourselves, I can do it on my own. Will you come to him? Will you come? The story of Christmas is that God came to us to help us in our need, to help us in our busyness, to help us with our pride, to help us when we're seeking identity in things that are other than him, and to help us in our selfishness. And the best part about God is he sent his very best. He sent his son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask the musicians to come on back up. I enjoyed the worship at the beginning. I think O Holy Night has got to be my all-time favorite song. And I sat over there. I was trying not to show everybody else that I was weeping. But it's such a beautiful thought. And I hope it's helpful for us to respond this morning in song. Let's respond to him in song. Just know this. He is our hope. He is our hope.
Amen.
I'll pray, and while the musicians get ready. Father, thank you for being so gracious and so loving to send us your son, Jesus Christ, to come even as a baby and to grow into manhood without sin. Thank you for sending him, and thank you that he is the Savior. Pray for our hearts that we would be lowly in our daily lives, even the rest of this day. We wouldn't be caught in busyness. God, that we would have the right attitude and the right behavior to keep coming to you. God, thank you for your word to us this morning. We love you. Amen.